Hey everyone, welcome to the Curious Girl Diaries podcast. I'm Layla London, aka The Curious Girl. Now, just to let you know, this podcast is not suitable for work. It's also not suitable for anybody under 18. But the rest of you consenting adults, let's get ready to talk about my sex life, sex in general, and everything in between in explicit, raunchy, fun detail. All right, here we go.
Would you give up all of, you know, the having the multiples to be with just one guy in a loving relationship? With all that you've been through, and you know, we're not going to dig in each other's past, but with all that you've been through and looking forward to a relationship and hopefully with a dominant man, is love scary?
Absolutely.
When it all comes together with the right person, I mean, there's nothing better.
Okay, everybody. Well, we have it's another podcast with Sir Ink and I, and he's actually going to lead the charge on this one because we're doing a podcast about love. So he's got some questions for me, and then I, in turn, will have some questions for him. So let's get going.
Well, I'm going to try to make it through this without throwing up.
What?
Just to let you know. We're going to talk about love. Barf, barf, barf.
Wait a minute. Why did you say it like that? This was your idea, mister.
No, this is not my idea. You brought up love on the last one, and I said, oh, boy. So I said, okay, well, we're going to talk about it. And then I thought about some things, and I said, okay, I got some questions for you, and you're supposed to have some questions for me.
I'm going to have to make them up as I go. I admit to being ill-prepared. I didn't realize I thought you were going to ask me all about me, but it's okay, because trust me, I got some questions for you, mister.
Yes, I'm sure you do. And as we go, we'll just feed off each other like we do.
Okay, we're good at that.
So we talked about both of our dating lives, right? And you talked about how you had you basically have two guys, and you had a third, but you kind of had to walk away from that. Mm-hmm. And so my first question would be, and you talked about that you would eventually want to go back to like a loving relationship with maybe a dominant, blah, blah, blah. So with that being said, and you question the hell out of me, would you give up all of, you know, the having the multiples to be with just one guy in a loving relationship? And if so, what does that look like? Is it somewhat of a traditional, or are you looking for a DS style loving relationship? What are you looking for in that regards?
Well, okay, that's a big question. So let me. There's a couple questions in there. Mm-hmm. So first off, would I basically give up, you know, all the playing around, I guess, to be with one person, in love with one person, and that's an absolute yes.
Okay.
The next thing is I guess you were asking what would that look like?
Mm-hmm. Well, like when you say you're going back to just having one person, does that look like traditional, you know, what we call like kind of vanilla? Or does it have to have some kink or BDSM, DNS role involved?
Well, this part of the question's rather timely and interesting because I just had an experience recently with Cowboy N where it's like the second time it's happened, and where I was just full tingles head to toe. I felt like I was high, you know, like my brain was producing these chemicals that just made me feel intoxicated in a really great way. But it's strange, and I'm still trying to understand, you know, what drives that and where it comes from. But what kicked that off was I was in
I was just in a mood. I needed that dominance, and I needed it right then and there. And so I grabbed his hand and just put it, you know, we were in bed, and I just kind of, you know, he was wrapping his arms around me, and I just took his hand and put it around my neck, and he just knew like instantly what to do, what I needed. And, you know, and I was like, just basically, I was like, it was the first time I can remember. Not that I haven't needed it before, but really just needing it right then in the moment, like right then and there. I needed what that dominant energy or what that dominant person can do for me.
Uh-huh.
I needed those things, and I got them. And so, and it just was really, I mean, and then when I was having the tingles, I think that whole thing just kind of knocked me back on my heels a bit and gave me some serious things to think about.
Hmm.
And so I don't know. So I'm questioning whether or not I could have just be straight vanilla anymore, because I thought I could.
Uh-huh.
And what I believe is that I can, there's things I now need that I just didn't really realize how much I needed them.
Uh-huh.
And I kind of do now. And so will I be able to go back to straight vanilla? I don't know. A week ago I would have said yes.
Mm.
But right now I don't know. And I just, you know, I'm kind of, yeah, it's really, it really kind of gave me something to think about. Some heavy shit.
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, because, you know, what I'm also realizing is just the difference in the way you love people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you can love somebody that you're vanilla with and really, really love them. And,
mm-hmm.
But those DS relationships are really, in my opinion, you know, when they're done right, they're steeper than anything you're ever going to feel.
Mm-hmm.
So it's pretty hard to, you know, let that go.
So let me ask you, so with that being said,
mm-hmm.
you want to gravitate back toward more of a loving, and I believe that even through multiple relationships, there's certain levels of love that you have, the way you've engaged these different people. And I'm gonna speak from experience. If I'm dating or I'm seeing multiple people at this point in my life, they have to be worth the investment. So I'm gonna have a certain level of love for them to do that, because I'm just not doing it just to have sex, right?
You know,
and compatibility is very, very hard. And like you said, you might have one person who just hits everything correct, but they might have something that's like, eh, but they got things that's like, I need that, I have to have that. And then you got somebody else who doesn't really have it, but they got all the other things that makes a relationship long-term sustainable, but I just don't know if it's enough to keep my attention.
Mm-hmm.
So with mm-hmm. that being said, how important is being in love to you? Far as in a relationship that you can go into committed one-on-one, is love the biggest factor, or is something else a bigger factor, and love finds its way in? Of course there's going to be some love, but there are some people who are completely relationships are strictly about love for them, and then there's people who relationships are a good fit, and it might not be based on love, but it's about mutual interest and total outlook.
You know, I've certainly had both of those mm-hmm. in my life, and also even just now, you know, with still just, you know, kind of playing around a little, playing around, you know, and mm-hmm. there's people, like I said, that I see that I love, and then there's just very casual. It's just about fun, mm-hmm. you know. But I can say that, you know, the relationships where you have that love and that just deep respect and genuine love and caring for someone is when you're intimate with it, with those people, it's really a lot better. It really is a lot. It makes it more it makes it more enjoyable, even whether it's a dominant submissive relationship or a vanilla relationship. I think when you sprinkle that little pixie dust on there, then, you know, and you got the L word floating around, it definitely changes things and makes the intimate, you know, the sexual stuff better. Right. You know, it's just better. Even if it's raunchy and raw, you know, I mean, it's still a lot deeper and a lot hotter, in my opinion, than just someone that I casually will have sex with. And not that the casual stuff's not fun. It is, but it's in its own category. You know what I mean? It's not the same.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, so what about you? I don't know if I answered all that whole big string of questions, but basically, you know, I still would prefer, you know, moving forward, having the emotional connection and being in love with somebody still trumps kind of everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm starting to feel like chemistry and commonality is overweighing love for me.
Mm-hmm.
Because I know love is going to be there. It depends on how much emphasis I put onto it, right? But chemistry and the ability to expand with someone, that might not always be the love choice, you know?
You don't think that it will, love will follow that if there's enough time and energy and stuff, you know, because it sort of can build out of that.
Well, remember my premise is not that love isn't playing a role. It just means that love is not the star of the show. Something else is the star, where a lot of people have to have love as the star of their show. And so I'm saying love plays a role. They're a role player, but love is not necessarily the catalyst. He's not the main character driving the whole thing. But he's there, and he has a very important role. But he's not the main driver. And this is where my mindset is going more as I mature. I'm starting to look at, like, I mean, I'm with love. Love is cool, but I would like a little more commonality, and a lot more commonality and the ability to expand, you know, the ability to, you know, like, hey, let's go somewhere. But you got time off, let's do it, you know.
Yeah.
You know, things that if I'm really gonna go somewhere with somebody, I gotta really like you. Like, I just can't just go on vacation with some girl that I wanna have sex with. Like, that's not really gonna be fun. Cause she's probably gonna talk and say something I'm not gonna want to hear, and that's gonna make me annoyed. I know how I can get. So, for me, it's best to, well, for me, where I'm at, I look at relationships now as common interest and connection. And I know love is always gonna be a part of it. As soon as we start having sex and talking on a consistent basis, you know, love is definitely going to play a part. However, for me, I think it works best if I find somebody I have common ground with.
Okay, so just to clarify then what I said, I don't know that I was trying to say that the love part would be exclusive of common ground or anything like that. I mean, I have to have all that too. It's just kind of nice when it does all come together, you know, that you can have all of it wrapped in one. But definitely there's things that, I mean, there's other things you can't just, and I wouldn't be in love with somebody that I just didn't have quite a few of those bullet points with. Now, I could be in love with somebody that doesn't have, you know, the BDSM side of things or the, you know, the dominant submissive dynamic. You know, definitely I find myself there, of course, but it's just, yeah, it I think I just like I said, I just kind of recently realized how much the BDSM and that dominant submissive dynamic, how much that's starting to impact me as far as, mm-hmm. you know, really kind of going, you know, I think this is really resonating with me. I don't think I can, or how am I going to not have this moving forward? How could I, you know, could I do that? Is that an option, you know, right. to not have that dynamic? And something I kind of have to, I wasn't really thinking about it from that point of view, but now I am. So that just recently jumped on the forefront.
Right.
Like, oh, great. Another complication.
Right.
Just.
You ran with that one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. And so my next question would be, is love scary? At this point, with all that you've been through, and, you know, we're not going to dig in each other's past, but with all that you've been through and looking forward to a relationship and hopefully with a dominant man, is love scary?
Absolutely. Hmm. Yeah. I think there's always an element of fear when it comes to that. You know, when you really love someone, they can break your heart. They can, you know, there's a lot of trust and that person can disappoint you and change your mood, and, you know, they just have a bigger impact on you than anyone else. So it is, there's a little element of, you know, well, what if, you know, I don't want to get let down, I don't want my heart broken, you know, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And not that I always push past that, but it does, but I'll, you know, I think being brave, or, you know, just is when you feel it and you just move forward anyway. So
right.
It certainly doesn't hinder me, but, you know, I'm not going to say that it doesn't pop up in there. There's not some fear surrounding it, because, yeah, there still is, even at this point in my life.
Okay.
What about for you?
I think it is scary, but I don't necessarily scary, but I'm hesitant. Hesitant to commit to it, I guess I would say, in that respect. Like, if I meet somebody and we start talking and they start telling me that they're just more really just about love and love, 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 and it sounds like they're reading from one of these romance novels, I'm not, probably not going to be interested in that.
Yeah.
Because to me, that kind of love that people think about has a level of expectation that's probably a little bit beyond who they're dating, right? And mm-hmm. people have no realistic expectations when it comes to the love that they want to get from someone. Even if they don't tell the people that. There's a level of love that they want to receive, and some people have a bottomless pit with that. You know, some people have a line, like, I go to this line and we good. And some people are like,
yeah,
okay, you crossed that line, you got to that line, great, let me push that back and let's do this now. And so I think I'm more so reluctant than I am scared.
Mm-hmm. It sounds like you've been in relationships where you had to, you almost, it sounds like you've been sucked dry a little bit. It sounds like maybe you've really given a lot, and in the end you felt like you had maybe just given more than you should have.
Pretty much. And I know we've all been there.
Yeah.
But yeah. I think what it is, I give so much, and I think, and because I'm such a more calm person, and it takes a lot to get me, you know, upset. I think in relationships, people try to figure out where's the hurt level, you mm-hmm. know, where's the level of his vulnerability in that way. And then that in turn leads me to disappointment, because sometimes women just want to see how far they can go. And even that, and even that is, to me, malicious in intent to a degree. You know, if you're having an intellectual conversation and you're trying to work through some issues and they bring up some nonsense personal stuff that you didn't even know what was going on that's even on their mind, I just feel like that's, you know, that's not the kind of love I want. You know, I've been in, you know, relationships where it's petty like that. Like, well, you did this and so I did that. And, you know, it's like, really, we keeping score? Jeez. So for me, love is a little scary, but I'm more reluctant until I can really find somebody that's on the same page that I'm on, who wants to maybe live their life in a way that they accept others. So I do, what I do good is I accept people for who they are, because I want to know who you are so I can predict how you're going to act. And I remember we talked about that. And most of the friendships that I've had over the past 20, 30 years are all people that are predictable. So if you used to call me like, hey, my girlfriend's dating your friend Jeff and blah, 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 and he did this, he did that, I would be like, okay, maybe I could see it if I knew that's something that he a little wild, he might do that. But if it's something outrageous and I know him, I'm like, nah. And I want to know the woman that I'm dealing with like that. And so that's why I was saying we get into doing journals and all that, because you really want to get to know a person. You want to get to know, like, how they think in crucial moments. That's big.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's big.
But it sounds to me, if I'm hearing you right, it sounds like you're a little bit put off by it.
I accept that it's definitely going to play a part in all the relationships that I'm going to be in. But I just, in my point of view, I don't lay so much weight into it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, it depends on, you know, it just depends on what you're looking for. When I started doing all this, this was like a love-free zone. There is no love. And I absolutely did not, you know, want it. It wasn't on the radar. Mm-hmm. And, you know, 3 years later, I mean, sometimes that shit sneaks up on you.
It does.
It's like, it's a fucking gangster, you know? Mm-hmm. It's like, it will come for your ass. Mm-hmm. So I won't say, I mean, you know, Mr. Big and I, we go way back. So there's always been that love and mutual respect. And over time, you know, we're either, you know, on again or off again or whatever. And it's based on a real solid, strong friendship first, really, you know, and you know, it's nice to have somebody that, you know, that really knows you. Mm-hmm. That really knows you, you know, and that you're just like, I'd say, you know, I mean, just like, yeah, I mean, most of the shit in my life, you know, good stuff, bad stuff, you know, I mean, he knows about it. It's, you know, it's just nice to have somebody that knows you that over time, that long, you know, and
right,
all that, you know, been there for big milestones and things like that. So there's the comfort. I mean, there, you know, I'm finding it after going through this whole thing of just like really not wanting that being the farthest thing from my mind. You know, I just was about the sex and about fucking and having a good time. And I did, you know, I mean, I definitely did. And I still, there's moments where I'm like, yep, that looks real good. You know, and it is. It's fun. It's still very fun. So I can appreciate, you know, the full end of the spectrum of why sometimes I'm more one way than the other. But having gone through all this, I can honestly say that, you know, it is, when it all comes together with the right person. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's nothing better. Now, that's a hard request, a tall order, you know, that's a tall order to have all that right in one person. But when you do get it, you know, it's hard to ignore it. I mean, you know, it's like, it is damn good. But I can say as well, on the same note, that what I've also realized is that this, the relationship, you know, this between the dominant and the submissive, is that shit can go real, real, really deep.
Right.
And it's like nothing I've ever experienced before. So it's pretty. Can you hear my dog?
Mm-mm.
Is that? Oh, I was going to say, is it your... First, I thought, do you have a little dog?
I do.
I look over, I'm like, I think that's my little dog.
That's your dog snoring. You know how you do.
She's I put her on the bed. She can't jump off the bed, and she wants to be closer to me. So she's kind of like whining a little bit.
She wants to cuddle.
Anyhow, so, yeah, it's... I mean... I think I gotta say I'm sort of in the love camp right these days, you know? I mean, I kind of hate it, but you know, saying that, but yeah, it's where I find myself right now.
Do you find yourself in the thought process of, okay, I want to be in a loving relationship? Do you find yourself looking for people who will allow you to set the parameters your way? Is that a thing for you, that you must dominate the love aspect of your relationship?
No.
Okay.
No, I really enjoy, I think that that's something that really needs to be mutual. That really has to be a two-way street.
Right.
And I enjoy somebody that, you know, challenges me a bit, and where I don't mind that, you know, I don't mind just them disagreeing with me or not, you know, we can have arguments, you know, I mean, there's obviously respectful ways to disagree and things like that. I don't want to control that. It's not legit. It's not the real deal if you have to or you're trying to.
True, right.
You know, it's really not something that either person can really dictate. It sort of is its own thing, you know?
This thing is crazy.
Does that make sense?
It does. It does. It does.
I mean, I don't know. You want to be in control of that? You want to dictate that?
No, I don't. I just don't want anybody to be overly about love that I'm dealing with. And that's a little selfish. But, you know, they can wear you out.
Overly? What is overly about love? What would that look like?
Well, you know, I dated a girl who would always send me these love songs. You know, like, you know, YouTube, I was thinking about you here. And all of them are slow love songs. And I'm like, barf, barf. Like, geez. And everything for her was like that. Built upon love. And if you love me, I was just like, oh, God.
Yeah. Well, let me ask you, did you really love her?
I did. In my way.
Okay. So she was kind of more a little cornier than you, sounds like.
Well, she's more dependent on love than I am. Like, I can function off of respect. I can, like, first of all, let's function off of respect for me. And then we can avoid a lot of stuff that happens when you get emotional over love, you know?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we got to have respect. But when you're based on love, and love is something that's a fleeting feeling. Like, it comes, it goes, it comes back.
Yeah.
So I think what happens is when people are at the low points, they freak out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they start looking for other things, and they already know that you're not meeting them on the level of love that they're on, so they start shift blaming things on you.
Okay, so this really kind of sounds like just the typical. This is sort of the typical problem with, you know, when you are in a relationship and you're in love and somebody loves one person more than the other or in a different way. And it's just, you're not aligned. Your interests aren't aligned.
Well, so, right. And see, that's what I'm saying, commonality, right?
Yeah.
Because what happens is...
Yeah, you're... Uh-huh.
What happens is people And I would say women tend to feel like they're martyrs in a relationship because they're like, oh, I love him and he's not as into it as me. And they take on, to a degree, I don't want to say a victim mentality, but they're playing the role of a martyr, for sure. Like, I do this for love, and I always get taken advantage of, and, you know, stuff like that. And I mean, I hear this stuff all the time. So it's not just my experience that I'm speaking from. I'm just speaking in general. That, but I think I haven't met many mature women. And when I mean mature, I mean, of course, I've met a lot of mature women, but not someone who's like, okay, I need to pace myself with that love stuff, you know. In general, I don't think it's all that great to just be like, oh, you know, you date somebody for a couple of months, and, oh, I'm in love with this person, and he's the best ever, he's my soulmate, you know, all that type of stuff. You know, the first time we met, and we ain't separating, and like, we've seen each other every day since, like, oh, Lord. Nothing wrong with it, but sometimes you're in a euphoric state, so you're not really seeing some of the things that need to be corrected for long-term success. I guess that's my point.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I get that that's all stuff that, you know, happens in just regular relationships. People get, you know, somebody's likes the other person more than the other or has a different agenda, and, you know, it's kind of a common theme. it seems to happen. I've certainly been the recipient of that. You have somebody that they love you in a certain way, but it's not, and you love them, but you're not like in love with them, and you don't love them the same way they love you. And sometimes the discrepancy is so big, it becomes a problem.
Right.
You know, the difference in the way you love each other. Mm-hmm. I fortunately and unfortunately don't find myself in that situation anymore, but I've been there, and it sucks. And that's where if you're the person that knows that you don't reciprocate on the same level that other person wants or needs, you have to let them go. And sometimes it's hard when you have a really, you know, when you know you have a good person and you just don't know why you don't feel it for them the same way, but you don't, you know, and you need to let go of them so that they can hopefully find somebody that, you know, matches up better, and they're in alignment a little bit more.
Yeah. Now, this one is different, and because I know you, I've been getting to know you this year, and there are things that we both know about each other. And one of the things that I think that I deal with, that I think you deal with, is you're the type of person that is well-loved. And how do you handle being well-loved? And what I mean about just being well-loved, it's just not being well-loved, is you have the kind of personality that draws people to you. And so, and it's just not... I mean, look, you're a pretty girl too, but that's one aspect of life that pretty women have to deal with. But you have the personality and the energy that is very attractive. And so with that kind of attention and people will love you, like, you know, you have, I'm sure you have people that's like, that's my friend, that's my girl, and you're like, that person is but they'll do anything for you, right? So how do you handle that kind of love?
Well, I don't know. I would say that's more devotion than love, wouldn't you? You can have people that are really devoted to you, but I'm not so sure that they're really loving you more so than they need you to fill a need. Avoid something, you know. And I mean, I've said this to a couple of the guys that I've, you know, met along the way here, along doing this crazy sexual road trip and stuff. I've said that I'm that girl that guys will fall in love with. Right. And I don't understand it always, you know, like it's, and you know, the, it's a strange conversation to have, because it could sound from like I'm coming from a vain place, but it really doesn't. It just does baffle me a bit, you know, where I'm like, that usually ends up being my problem, is that someone will, you know, they start going down that road, and they just let their feelings take over, and they go with it. And, you know, very seldom do I reciprocate, you know, exactly the same way or the way they want me to, that's one of the biggest problems that I have with relationships, really. Mm-hmm. Is just it being equal. And when it is for me, it's very seldom equal. And so when it is for me, it's something that just goes deep, you know, it just goes deep. So as I don't fall in love easily, I know we're talking about, you know, this is all about love, and it may be because I said, you know, I'm sort of leading with, yeah, I'd rather be, you know, I'd rather be in love, loving, you know, relationship.
Uh-huh.
And that's only, it doesn't mean that it's easy to find, or I can just snap my fingers and make it happen. It is very hard for me to get there with someone. So when I do, you know, it's intense, and I like it, you know, and mm-hmm. It's special and unique, because it just doesn't happen very often. So when I do come across it, I'm very reluctant to let it go. You know, so I just want to clarify this. It's not like I just go, oh, I'm in love now. No.
Right.
I can go, you know, years without really, really being in love with someone. Long periods. Because I just don't think that, you know, that all that right stuff that you're talking about, you know, that you want and need, like, it's so hard to find. But, you know, if you do, that shit's pretty special, you know. See what you want to try to hang on to
and, right, and it's so in your dating experience, right? And you know, I write and stuff like that, and people will think that, you know, if I tried to date somebody that, let's say, I met online through a page or whatever, I think they have a level of expectation and maybe even connection to me that I don't know of, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that we both have infectious personalities. People talk to you. We're very authentic with who we are. And so that's refreshing. Yeah. And then
it draws people in.
It draws people in.
And people are drawn to that.
And we're very
naturally.
And we're, you know, intellectuals. We are we read. we are into different things, far as holistic things. Right, and so I think our conversation is expansive. Now I'm gonna just travel a little bit on this. I think, like, you and I go into a place, into a room, and we start talking, and it'll be like, oh, we become part of the life of the party. And so it's that kind of attention, right, when people meet you, that I don't know if they're more so on the love drug or they really feel on me for me. And I mean, I guess it's all me, right?
Yeah,
but to me, I don't think yeah. I am as
this
awesome.
This is how you get stalkers.
Yeah, because I don't think I am as awesome as someone may have pictured it in their, how they fantasize me.
Exactly.
In their mind.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, I know. I'm 1,000% not what right. they, you know, yeah, this fantasy that they have in their head, you know, I mean, like. Yeah, you should see me when I'm frustrated and, you know, driving and cursing at people,
right.
you know, like.
Right. Right.
Yeah, not.
Right.
You need to see me in all aspects, you know, not just.
Right.
Yeah, not just a podcast.
Exactly. And I think one of my challenges dating is one, there's not a lot of guys that's in the lane that I'm in. And. there's not a lot of guys who may necessarily be able to control their own life. Well, you know, I own my own business, I do education, blah, 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 and I travel. So that makes me a little unique to other people. And so my mindset is different as far as how I look at business, relationships, and a lot of things about life. And I know you understand this, being a business owner, is we have a mentality of eat what you kill. And that is a straight go-getter mentality. And sometimes that go-getter mentality transfers into all places of my life. So I know how I have to be in business. I have to be efficient. I have to be, you know, I have to be more pragmatic in things I do. But I think those principles, because they've led me to success in my life, they travel over into my personal life. And I don't necessarily think, and I know it doesn't work, that kind of rigid or structured kind of box does not fit on top of love at all. Love is cannot be boxed in, it can't be explained, and it can't be marginalized at all. And so I think that's a challenge. And that's why I think I said I was looking for more commonality than I am love.
Yeah.
Because I need somebody who has that mindset, like kind of a business, and looks at their personal life in an efficient manner. Then that way they don't get the traveling with the stars of, oh, I was thinking, you know, did you ever think about getting married again? You know, that kind of stuff. You know, it's like, whoa, 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 whoa. Mm-hmm. Whoa, 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 whoa. Mm-hmm. You know.
Well, that's a good question. Let me ask you that then right now. You've been married before, right?
Mm-hmm.
Would you ever get married again?
I would never say never, but geez, it's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot. It's going to take a lot.
You know what I think?
What's that?
I want to see where you're at. Like just like with me. I mean, you know, you go through phases and chapters and, you know, your life ebbs and flows. And I just feel like you're at the same point I was when I started all this, you know, as far as you're about the journey and not the destination right now. And that's good. I mean, I think that's a good way to be most of the time.
Right.
And, I'm just drawing conclusions from, you know, this whole social experiment I've done with my life for the past 3 years and, you know, and all the things that have come to fruition and all the things that brought about for me and, you know, all the things that I've learned about myself and through these experiences with other guys and what that's taught me and shown me. And so I'm coming off the tail end of all that, you know, and for me, it's very impactful. You know, it's been very impactful and eye-opening, and it's just taught me so much and shown me so much. I had no idea, you know, I had no idea. And when I started this, I remember saying in the beginning, like, some of my very first podcasts was that, like, really wondering, like, who am I going to be at the end of this?
Right.
And and now I'm getting the answer to that 3 years later.
Right.
And so it's pretty fucking interesting. And so I would say, you know, I totally get, like, I was not about the L word at all. As a matter of fact, that was just a big old no, you know, and didn't have any interest at all at that point. And, I think I'm just more relaxed with it. You know, I'm like, okay, you know what? If it's going to show up on my doorstep with the right person and I'm kicking on all cylinders, then I'm going to be open to it. I'm not going to do what I've done many times in my life before, which is just shut it down, you know, kind of be an emotional chicken shit.
Right.
I've done that a lot. And so, you know, I'm balancing all that with just trying to stay open to what comes my way.
So do you think after experiencing a DS relationship that mm-hmm. that has spawned an idea for you to return to a one-on-one connection with that involved. Like, that right there is what can get me to settle down. And mm-hmm. let me say that, and before you answer that, let me say this in my own personal life. Since I've gone through that last situation earlier this year, I'm like really holding myself out to only deal with women who are interested in the lifestyle, are in the mm-hmm. lifestyle, you know, and like real deal, and real deal submissive women, not just to, yeah, be submissive and get on my knees for you, yeah. But they really just, you know, they just want a man, like real deal submissive,
yeah.
And there's a lot of things that I turned down, you know, a lot of self-masochism to a point, you know, because I'm still a guy, right? I'm not an attractive woman. I might want to have sex with her. Part of it, yeah. Part of my objective, right? And then it's like, nah, and you know what? I'm not even going to drag her into this because I already know where that's going to go. She might get all wrapped up in me, and then I'm not going to be 100% in with it, but interested in her, particularly because she doesn't exude the kind of humbleness and the kind of humbleness a submissive has. Because there's a lot of submissive women that are not very humble in their approach to relationships.
Yeah.
So how about you? Has DNS has that interaction with Cowboy and made you want to dial more in on that? Okay, I would love to do a monogamous relationship, but it has to be now with that kind of guy.
It's becoming more, and this, like I said, this is just kind of really a very recent, you know, kind of revelation. It's becoming more clear that that's probably not something I can just ignore now, you know. Right. It's kind of like, now you know what this is all about, and now you've seen. I mean, I don't, like I said, like I don't know that I've just never experienced anything so deep. So the bond is so deep. Mm-hmm. And you don't really, it's just like you kind of wake up one day and realize it. At least I did. You know, you don't, it's not like, it just slowly builds. And maybe because maybe this is very unique for me, because when I started out, it was just a bucket list item that I'm like, well, I'm going to do this a couple times. Maybe I'll get tied up. I'll get spanked. Right. I was going to do the acts, but more as just a passerby, you know, like, right. Yeah, I'm going to jump in and do this, and then I'm scratched off my list and just keep going back to who I was, right. And still be that same person.
Right.
But I'm not, you know, I'm absolutely not. And the other thing that I wanted to say was, you know, if Cowboy, and believe me, I mean, you know me well enough. I mean, I'm a handful.
Mm-hmm.
But in the very beginning, I was a ridiculous handful, you know, to the extent that I just didn't know about any of this. Now, he was patient enough, and he kind of saw something. He saw something that I didn't know was there. He saw it and picked up on it.
Right.
And you know, and so I'm glad he didn't just say, well, you know, this is not a seasoned sub.
Right.
It's just, you know, I mean, I literally just didn't know anything about it. And so, but I had someone, even despite me being a tremendous smart ass, you know, was able to look, really, I mean, you know, just look, I mean, if I knew something bugged him, I would probably emphasize it, you know, just to be rebellious, you know, and to let him know, like, hey, it's the fucking Layla show. Let's get that straight, you know, right? That was that was my attitude in the beginning. Right. And, but, you know, like I said, he saw something and he was patient and, you know, and here I am all this 3 years later and it's completely different, you know, between he and I. And and so my point, I guess, would be like to you is maybe there's, you know, you might, you said you only want like a set, you know, someone that's in the lifestyle. Well, somebody that's curious about it and never been there, they might have something, you know, they might have something to offer. It True. Just depends, you know.
True.
You have to trust your
gut,
your instinct.
And you know what?
Yeah, you trust your instinct.
And I would never. And let me say this: I would never say I wouldn't date a newbie. It just means, you know, I have to get myself prepared to, you know, start from kindergarten on up.
Yeah. Oh yeah. I was like a fucking kindergartner, less than a kindergartner.
Even with subs that's been a lifestyle. That's had dominance, you still don't, that worked for Steve, that may not work for me, you know. Yeah. what one dominant demands, another one may not. And so a lot of it is still getting to know that person. But a lot of people, like I said, if you read and stuff online, people create these kind of fantasies in their head, and you and I both know how that goes.
Yes. Yeah. No, I know. I mean, it's still, I think we're still subject to just the same old dating, you know, getting to know somebody bullshit that, you know, you got to go through, whether or not it's vanilla or it's a dominant submissive dynamic, whatever it is, whatever the premise is, you know, you still got to weed out the ding dongs. And unfortunately, it's predominantly ding dongs. And that's the part that's just not so fun, you know what I mean? It's like, all right, you know, I mean, did you ever sometimes, you know, like, I mean, I've fucked a couple of those ding dongs, you know, because I was like, well, all right, whatever, I guess I will. Did you ever listen to that episode I did about ugly fucking?
No,
yeah, see, I mean, I've almost got 100 episodes now. I'm coming up, like, I'm in the 90s right now. I'm trying to get to my 100th episode. But it's funny, I can't, you know, once I do get through this end this year, I'm going to go back and listen to every single episode. And I'm really excited about the fact that I've fucking chronicled this whole, you know, this whole adventure.
Yes, you have.
And I can't, I'm sure I'm going to cringe at some of the shit that I said, or, but it's going to be really interesting to see, you know, like, I'll go back and look at the titles, and I'm like, oh my God, yes, I remember that. Oh my gosh, yes, I remember what I was thinking at the time. Or even get this, some of the, I, you know, on the website I have the guys, like, I have, there's guys I've totally forgotten about. And then I'll go, oh, yeah, that's right, I remember him. I mean, I fucked him, you know?
Right, right, right. Right, right, oh.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about that guy.
Right. You're such a guy.
It's silly. It's funny, but... Yeah, I definitely, whatever, regardless of, you know, how, where it goes moving forward, just having, you know, for you, I can't wait to see, like, a couple years from now where you're at, but for, you know, because you're kind of, you just got out of a relationship this year. I mean, you know, I mean, you're, it's different for you, and you really are coming off of, okay, these are things I know I don't want anymore. Like, I, right, you know, and so you're adamant about those things, and that's good. I just would say, you know, again, just, you know, you still got to remember where you're going to start and where you're going to end up are very likely two totally different places. So just stay open-minded.
I'm definitely open-minded. And I want the audience to know, I'm not saying...
You sound like you're down on love a little bit.
No, I'm just saying if relationships in total were like a pie chart, right? Mm-hmm. I'm saying love for me has a third of it, but it doesn't have half or 60 or 80% like it does for other people.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean I wouldn't be in love. It's just look at the long-term goals. I can love you and we not be going in the same direction.
Right. Sure.
So, yep. And that's why I say, why I look at love on my pie chart as having a third.
My pie chart of love. I see that.
Right? Because, just think about it.
I see that, actually.
How many relationships people woke up in like, damn, I mean, I love him or her, but, but damn, we ain't nowhere further today than we were 2 years ago.
Yeah.
We haven't hit none of the benchmarks we said we were going to do. Mm-hmm. You know, what's up?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah. Well, so, but, well, here's a good question. So have you ever been in love in a dominant submissive relationship? Have you had both at the same time?
I've loved, but not been in love. And I think I've loved because of circumstance. Like if my first...
You weren't in love?
No, I loved her to death and I loved her as a friend. I loved her as a friend first before we even started any of this other stuff. And then all the other stuff just enhanced it. But at the same time, she was going through a separation from her husband. So in my mind, and she was living in a house. So in my mind, you know, I just couldn't go but so far with the being in love, right? Because of circumstances. So, and even without that circumstance, I don't know if I want to have the old school traditional relationship. I kind of like living here and someone else living wherever they are and we meeting in between.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we don't have to cohabitate.
Yeah.
And in particular, you know, I have a daughter. And we don't talk about that much, but I have a 13-year-old, and I'm like, you know what? I need to worry about getting her in high school, out of high school, and then I can worry about worry about my life, because that's so temperamental. Like boys is like whatever, okay, but girls are more emotionally invested as well, right? So, if whoever I bring in and she don't like them, that's just gonna be a problem, and my daughter make it a problem, right? Like, you know, she'll just do stuff, you know, because she doesn't know how to handle that at her age.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, you know, I'm gonna just wait until I get her in a position where she's older, more understanding, then I can date for myself, you know, openly date or live with that person. I can do that then, but right now,
Well, actually, I mean, I think that's really smart and very wise. And, you know, your child doesn't care about a revolving door of relationships. You know, she's just wanting you to be her dad. And so that, I think that should be the priority. And there's no reason why you've got, 5 more years? I mean, there's no reason why you'd have to be living with anybody or even having anybody really come around her, because, you know, that's, I can keep those two worlds separate until she, like you said, until she's older, you know, and when she's an adult, that's different. But it is your number one priority, you know, is to be her dad, you know, until put a good human being out in the world. And once you've done that, you know, then it's more, you can have your personal life a little more blended with your, you know, parental life, if you want to call it that.
Yes.
But I think it's smart to keep them separate. I really do. And I don't think a lot of people take that point. I mean, that's very admirable, because I don't think a lot of people look at it from that perspective, and they really should.
Yes, it's not easy integrating all those aspects of your life together. And that's why the whole choice of who you're going to have around, that can't, you know, that
you have to have someone that understands that. They're not going to be threatened by it, or they're not going to understand it and respect it, you know, that this is your point of view, and there's good reason for it. And and so I know that some, you know, I think it's maybe more, I don't know if I want to be unfair, I think it might be more with women, you know, where they're wanting to be just as a security thing, you know, like they'd want to be, you know, involved with you and your daughter, and, you know, when it really isn't the best for your daughter, you know,
right.
that's not a scenario that's best for your daughter. And so, you know, it takes a mature person to respect, you know, just respect that boundary. But I think, I think you're on the right track. So I can see that one.
Okay. So let me ask you, okay. So I'm done with my love questions.
Ooh.
I'm done.
All done?
Not all done. You know, I lost my book, so this is what I have so far. But I have something else lined up for you. So,
okay.
What do you have anything for me before I move on to something else?
No, I just want to say, just stay open-minded. I feel a little bit of a prejudice on your side about, you know, what you're expecting. I think it's, again, I don't know if this is right, but I feel like you have this expectation that a lot of women are going to be just overstepping,
okay.
You know, with this whole love thing.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe that's where you were in the past.
Right.
But don't assume that you'll be there again in the future. But if you are again there in the future, it's really something that you have to ask yourself why you keep bringing those types of women in your life.
Right, yes.
And, yeah, you know, I mean, because the common thread there is you.
Absolutely.
But because of that, see, I feel like you're kind of maybe going, okay, you know, and you're letting the pendulum swing completely the other way. And all I'm saying is, you know, just... It's strike a good balance.
Well, you know what? So with the balance that I'm trying to strike, right? And to your point, you're right. Right now is I'm only going to date people who are definitely interested or in a lifestyle.
Yeah. And I think that's very, yes.
Like I have to.
Good.
Right.
Good.
Right.
Yeah. No, good. I agree with that. Yeah.
Because one thing, and I want people that's listening to this podcast to understand, is one thing about the lifestyle that I appreciate the most, if done correctly, is that everybody comes with who they are and what their issues are on the table. Period. You know, like mm-hmm. a sub is going to tell you.
Yeah.
Everything that's happening, everything's going on. And that's what, you know, I think... is to change. It's straight up, I'm not going to do it with the vanilla girls. They're cool. They're you know, beautiful and they have a lot to offer. But I just need somebody a little different.
Yeah.
And I'm at a point in my life where I can ignore my sexual desires to just stay focused on that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I think that you, again, I think you have a good handle on it. And it's good that you know.
Right.
You just, there's at this point, and you know, this is the one of the things that I can appreciate so much about when we get to certain ages in our lives, you know, we've had all these experiences. It's it's mm-hmm. for a reason.
Right.
It's helping us, hopefully, right? We're smart
right.
enough to
Lord.
Take a look at all that, draw some conclusions. And move forward in a way that, you know, is going to be more beneficial than
right.
what wasn't working in the past. And so I believe you 1,000% when you say, you know, you want somebody that's in the lifestyle or interested in the lifestyle because that you know that that's important to you. And
right.
so that's key. You know, I mean, just stick to that. And I think the rest will kind of fall into place.
Thanks so much for listening. And if you like what you hear, refer me to a friend and make sure you're following me on social media. Also, go to the website, thecuriousgirldiaries.com, and join my subscribers only list for access to exclusive content. And as usual, questions or comments, you can always email me at curiousgirl@thecuriousgirldiaries.com.